I liked also the way that Ty talked about seeing the suffering that's caused by others as a natural disaster. You know, we've had a lot of this experience. We have a lot of natural disasters that happen that cause people a lot of suffering. And your heart just goes out, and you know, it's just kind of like, oh. But then, you know, there'll be some government or some people who cause a lot of suffering. And there's a, to me, there's a different kind of anger around that. There's a different kind of feeling. You know, I want to blame. I want to hold it against these people. And Ty reminds us, that's just a natural disaster too. These people, this is coming from ignorance. Yeah. And Ty calls them prisoners of ignorance, these people. And, you know, I mean, we can all see that to some degree in ourselves, and we can all see that in people that we love and care about. Like, I was thinking, when I was reading this, I was thinking about my father, who died 6 years ago, and he was a wonderful man. He was a wonderful father. He was very loving. He had so many wonderful qualities. And he was also really angry because he had no emotional intelligence at all, no ability to control or handle his emotions. He really was taken over by his emotions. And he caused tremendous suffering in our family. And he was a prisoner of ignorance. You know? So that's how we can, you know, begin to see people as trapped in ignorance. So we're not going to do this now, but there are some exercises that you might want to do on your own. And we're going to continue, you know, we have a new assignment this week, but the way these classes go, you do the assignment and then we talk about it at the end, because otherwise I would talk about it and then you would do whatever I said. That's not very interesting. So you do it your way and then we come and talk about it. But you continue the exercises. Hopefully you'll continue through the whole 8 weeks and beyond, cultivating the ability to be aware of your desire, to be aware of your grasping, to be aware of your anger and your aversion. And so these will continue. And so I suggest you might do a couple of exercises, maybe just writing or just contemplating, how does your anger express itself? And do you have a tendency to deny or repress your anger? You might want to describe the feeling that you have when you're feeling anger. You might want to draw a picture of it. You might want to find it somewhere in your body. To just get to know it as, you know, this is valuable compost. This is really good, rich material. So take your sponsor of mindfulness and invite wherever your particular pattern of anger is or isn't. So we're going to do another guided meditation. So once again, we'll start by settling in, and let's listen to one sound of the bell to just help us settle in. Using your awareness of your breath to connect with any sensations in your body, in your mind. And now we're going to investigate the body and the mind for desire. Might come as restlessness, as needing to move. As generally just feeling unsettled. Of wanting to ride the train of thoughts that arise. Or of wanting a certain experience. And now notice the absence of any of these aspects of desire. Perhaps you're not hungry right now or thirsty. Perhaps you don't need to move your body. Perhaps to a certain degree you're not getting caught in your mind states. And you are resting in the present. And now we're going to investigate the mind and the body for anger. Might come in the form of discomfort, of just a feeling of not being content or at ease. Discomfort with any of the sense impressions, the lighting in the room, the air, the hardness of the chair, the sound of my voice. Just generally wanting to be somewhere else or wanting to have a different experience. These can come up as stories of unhappiness coming into your consciousness. Perhaps injustice. Feelings of loss. Just wanting life to be different in some way. And now also notice the absence of this aversion, of this anger. There's a part of you that is not experiencing this, that it's not taken over by this. And you can find that place and put your attention on that place of rest. Settling into the comfort and the joy of the aspects of this present moment. And as we do this, we begin to notice how our thoughts create the feelings of desire and anger in us. How we can be overtaken by these feelings, by the choice of our thoughts. And know that you have a choice to follow these thoughts or not, to nurture these feelings or not. And be aware that we can investigate where the feeling of desire, the feeling of anger comes from in us. And we can work with that place in us rather than allowing those feelings to create our whole story. So we have time for like two or three comments if anyone wants to share anything that they've experienced so far.
My name's Gary. That last part was good about observing where the anger or desire comes from. It can soon come from different areas. What that brought to mind is sometimes I'll notice the feeling might originate in this area from, let's say later I'll discover it's a security thing or something that could be, or so let's say anger is coming up. Anger is usually a little easier to let flow through you or me because it's seen it many, many times, and I have found that allowing it and letting it flow, rather than trying to say no or whatever, which I have many, many years have done, years ago, but allowing that to flow, then it generally shows what's underneath the anger, mm-hmm. which can either be fear, control, insecurity, many other things, and then each one of those can tend to point out something else. But the observing of where it comes from can be a hint to that, because it many times it's wanting something to be different than it is at this moment, mm-hmm. and or a fear of future. Say if it was a security issue, whether it be health or financial or something else, and you might immediately lash out at, well, you know, something just happened that is affecting my financial security or my health security or something, and the initial response, the initial emotion could be the anger, but then it's usually a fear of what that could lead to, or wanting to control that, or wanting that to be different, or just a feeling of helplessness that I can't do anything different, mm-hmm. and I have to sit with that. So there's each one of these things, layer upon layer, even just with the fear. I mean, the fear points out another emotion underneath that and underneath that, but each one has to be allowed, and it's notice and allow, mm-hmm. and let it mm-hmm. flow, and mm-hmm. so that. But it's a big process.
Great, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we'll just go on then. So we're going to talk about the five hindrances today. And first, before we do that, you know, one thing that I've just recently understood, I mean, I've understood for a long time the basis of it, that our teaching is that we all have Buddha nature, that every being has Buddha nature. In other words, every being is radiant goodness. You know, that's our true nature, and every being has that. And so in the Buddhist thought, it's like just what happens is it gets covered up. It's like dust on a mirror. And so we can't allow our radiance to shine. And so for me, it was kind of a reframe, because what's talked about traditionally, the translations are like non-fear, non-greed. They're the negative, and I come from a different training that where words have import, and that your subconscious doesn't really hear the word non. So when you say non-fear, you hear fear. When you say non-greed, and it greed. So I had to really reframe this. You know, it's like, why are you always saying, instead of saying, you know, the positive word, why are you saying non this, you know? And so I finally began to understand it's because it's just taking the layers away, you know, the state that when you take all the layers away is this brilliant, radiant goodness that we are. And so it's when you're taking a layer off, it's like, well, non that, non that, and non that, until you come to the state that you are. So that's just kind of, I don't know if anyone else has that, but that's kind of an understanding for me. So the five hindrances are layers that have a cover up and obstruct our clear mirror of ourselves, our true goodness. And so they are understood as, let's see, it says here somewhere. They're visitors. They're visitors. They're not really who we are. They're just visitors. They may tend to hang around a long time, but they aren't really, you know, our true reality, our true nature. So it's easy in our culture to move from the awareness of unskillfulness to, you know, from I did a bad thing to I'm bad. You know, that's a very easy thing for us to do. So again, we have to suspend that here. It doesn't really help to do that. It's sort of a dead end, you know. So we let go of that. And we just notice our unskillfulness with this kindness of mindfulness. It's really, this is a practice of self-love, and this is what we'll work with next time. And what it helps us do, of course, is to make skillful choices. You know, we can look in the world and see, okay, how much suffering is caused by somebody making a choice? And how much suffering do we cause ourselves and others by the choices that we make? You know, I mean, there is pain in the world. You know, there is pain in life. But how much of it is self-created and self-chosen? So there's a lot of it, you know, a huge amount. And so, like war, for example, is basically a choice, you know. And so, what if we were clear enough? What if our mirrors were clear enough, our hindrances were gone, so that we didn't have to experience that? What would our world be like? Yeah. So the five hindrances are desire, which we've already dealt with, which is grasping, or lust, it can be. And the feeling that comes with it is heat. You know. And it's, of course, a pulling toward something. Those are the images that are traditional in Buddhist teaching. And then the second one is aversion, or aversion has many forms: rejection, resistance, condemning mind, rage, hatred, anger, of course, ill will, down a few notches, irritation, annoyance. You know, those are all in the spectrum of aversion, of turning away from. And then there's elements, like Gary was talking, there's elements of sorrow and grief in aversion. Just like you said, not wanting the world to be the way it is, wanting it to be different down at your core, being sad and sorrowful that it's not a different way, the way that you want. And it's all rooted in this underground force of aversion, of turning away from the way the world is. And so its image is pushing away. And the third one is, we don't talk about a whole lot, but it's that old saying of sloth and torpor. I don't know if you heard that. So sloth is just a sluggishness of mind. I was talking to a friend today who just recently realized she was gluten intolerant. And, you know, she just stopped eating gluten for like 3 days. And she says, oh my God, my mind is clear. You know, it's just, you know, you sometimes might have had that experience where you're on medication or something, and you're just, your mind is not clear, and it's just sluggish, and you can't really get going. And then torpor is described as weakened mental factors. And stuckness. So it's kind of a sluggish stuckness. And then the fourth one is restlessness, which is agitation, anxiety, worry. And the fifth one is doubt. So when you're caught in indecision, maybe in self-doubt, when you are caught in the belief that sensual pleasures are going to really bring you true happiness, for example. So delusion is, the image for that is being caught in a net or running around in circles. So there's a general strategy. There's teachings on really getting into each one of these hindrances in particular, but there's a general strategy, which is not going to be a big surprise to you, for getting through these hindrances. So the Buddha oftentimes is described as the doctor, the physician, the great physician. And so he identifies the causes, the cure, and the prevention for these malaises that we have, and the five hindrances being five of them. So the method he uses is mindfulness, which is the root of everything wholesome, and the medicine is not clinging. So this is really important, that this is not a course, an 8-week course in how to get rid of the five hindrances. This is a course in not clinging to whatever your particular form is in this moment, you know. And so it's just observation, being with.